sing.
Listening to Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Choir from the album Say Yo Business.
James Brown and Aretha Franklin and Al Green Cash said they could sing, yes.
Can you hear them say?
Amelia Jackson and Albertina Walker and Shirley Caesar Good said they could sing, yeah. And Jimmy Cliff can.
Sure that you do it.
Oh, I can sing, yeah.
Can you hear them say?
Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Shirley Horn can.
Sure that you do it.
Let every voice, lift every voice and sing. And welcome to February. Of course, here at KMUN, we play music from everyone and everywhere all the time. But we want to lift up Black History Month, African American History Month. Can you hear him sing? Yeah. Thank you to Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Choir with all her guests. She's got a huge, beautiful album. Welcome to Arts Live and Local, folks. Glad to have you here. I'm glad to be here. And I've got some great guests, lots of them. Lots of them right here in the studio. It's pretty fun. I want to send out healing wishes to all in need. And I just keep, the names just keep coming into me. Just now, I'm going to send out an extra one to Lila and to you if you are in need of healing body, spirit, mind, heart. I think that covers all of us, especially to Hope and Reva and Susie and Linda, Bob P. and so, so many more. And to all of the people who are suffering with violence, survivors, and those who didn't survive. And this entire country and world, we all need healing. On the good side, we have some birthdays today. Happy, happy birthday to Margaret Frimuth, former KMUN programmer, and so much more in this community. And then Crabbo's got a birthday, one of our fabulous local musicians. Also local, Diane. Happy birthday, Diane. And to Hillary and Hayes, who are having, believe it or not, a cow party at the Brownsmead Grange. Don't ask. I don't have any more details, but I know it's going to be fun. And speaking of fun, we are here. I am here. And we're going to have fun because I've got five beautiful people sitting here in front of me. And leader of the pack is Thomas Ryan, who is the director of the upcoming play. It opens a week from tonight at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. It's called Guilty Conscience. I think we have the perpetrator of the guilty conscience in the room, folks. And but we'll find out. I'm going to leave it to them to share the whole thing. It opens on the 10th. I think it goes through the 25th. And there are a couple of doubles. So it's Friday and Saturday, 7:30. All three weekends. There's one Thursday, there's three matinees, and on Sundays, and then on Saturday the 25th, to close, they're doing two shows. I don't know who came up with this schedule, but they look like a hearty bunch, so I'm sure they'll survive. I don't know about the audience. So welcome. Welcome to you guilty conscience folks from the Coaster Theater to KMUN. I've asked Thomas to go ahead and introduce. There's only one person here in addition to Thomas whom I know who's familiar to me. So why don't you tell us who are all these so far lovely people? We'll find out. I don't know. I'm just going to say it's a murder mystery, folks. So, you know.
Thanks, Carol, for having us, first of all. And great piece of music that you started the show with. That was terrific. Good to be here. And the reason why we have that double last day is because we had to move the opening day back a week for various reasons. So we wanted to make sure we got our 10 performances in. So starting from our far right, I've got Frank Chikodnik over there. Next to him is Brian Churchill. Next to him is Margot McClellan. And next to me is Toddie Adams. Those are our four cast members.
Now, is that the entire cast?
That's it. Just the four of them.
Oh, wow. So you carry this whole play. Okay. First question, just right off the top, because I got a sort of answer from Thomas on this. Do any of you ever laugh during this play? Oh, they're laughing now.
Yes.
Okay, that would be Toddie Adams. And Toddie, what's your role?
I play Jackie Willis. She is the mistress in all of this chaos and conundrum. But
mistress as in a romantic... Not the mistress of the house.
No.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Maybe. No.
You're so much younger than these people, though, Toddie. Why are you mixed up with them? Not necessarily in the cast. I don't know. Toddie, did you just move here?
About 2 years ago. I moved here from Colorado, yes.
And had you done theater in?
I had. I've done community theater since I was in high school and did it through good majority of my 20s, and when I moved back out here, I knew that it was something I desperately wanted to get back into. Somebody recommended the Coaster Theater to me, and
there you are.
Here I am, a year later.
And we are really glad to have her.
That's great. Before I get deeper into this, how many of you have been on this show before?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that's 2 out of 5. How many of you have been on KMUN before? How many of you have been on radio before? The three of you. Okay. Okay. Are you? Oh, you're the standalone. Okay, yes. Brian. Brian is a triple virgin. Now this is unusual. So okay. And
get
then
ready,
we,
Brian.
Right. Then we have 2 double virgins and 2. Nothing. Okay, good.
Fine.
Well, welcome.
We're friends now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome to KMUN family now that you're part of the show. So, Toddy, we started right out with the mistress. Now, let me jump over. To whom are you a mistress?
To Arthur, the
Arthur.
Man of the show.
I see. Arthur. And that would be Frank Jagodnik. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Now, Frank is, how long have you been playing at the Coaster?
Just about 27 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I've seen you so many times. And you are, have you ever missed a year there? Did you go away?
Only 2012 was the only year that I didn't do a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but between 1997 and this year, I did a show every year, including the pandemic year, we did the first show of the season, and then they closed us down before we could do another one.
Right, right. Well, I have seen Frank play everything from A to Z, and I can say he's fabulous. He's the only one I've seen of this group, so sorry, I can't recommend any of your theater.
Hey, I would recommend these three. They're great.
Okay. Well, in that case, we've got it from the horse's mouth. So, Frank, do you want to tell us about your character?
Well, Arthur Jameson is basically, they like to call him the ruthless criminal lawyer. And he's supposed to be brilliant. He knows just about everything. But, of course, he also thinks he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to come across that way.
Mm-hmm. Arrogant.
Yeah, I would say so. And he also likes the ladies.
Ah.
I will tell you that's about the only thing because we've already brought up the mistress.
I was going to say, enter Jackie.
and there's more to come. But the long-suffering wife is right to my left.
Uh-huh. That would be Margot. Margot, have you been a long-suffering life? I mean, wife. In life. And on the stage?
On stage to Arthur. Yes, Louise is a very long-suffering wife. It's become very apparent to her that Arthur only married her because her father was a judge. And he thought that would bring connections for him. And so over the years, that's harbored some seething resentment on her part. And now it's created this situation.
Okay, and what situation would that be? Who wants to tell us? As much as you want to say, I don't want to create a spoiler, number one. And number two, I don't know the play, so I can't. So.
I'm only going to interject one thing.
Okay.
A gun is involved. That's it.
That's it.
I can't tell you
who shoots,
to what involvement, who does, but there will, and it's a loud gun.
Oh.
So be prepared.
Oh.
Very loud.
So it could trigger, so people
Yes,
should
it does
know.
Have a hair trigger.
And some people do, too. So that's something to keep in mind. Is this play an all-age play? Would you bring your teenagers or your kids?
Teenagers, yeah, you can certainly bring. But I would think that a small child, no, it's not appropriate for them. But a teenager, you could come, and they would understand what's going on.
Okay.
It's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
So you have to take that on its face value.
Right.
Yeah. And there are some twists and turns, and that's probably why we're not saying a whole lot. We don't want to give away too much of the
play.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
One thing I'd like to give away, but it's not the show.
Okay.
It was written by the same two gentlemen that wrote the Columbo series. So for all you old folks.
Oh.
And remember Peter Falk and Columbo.
Yes, of course.
And you can see some of the flavor of Columbo in this, in some parts of it. You'll recognize. But it strays quite a bit from that series.
So I could have sworn I just heard on probably an NPR interview something about a guy None of you are looking at me like, yes, yes.
Well, there's a series, I believe, that was just released
with
a female lead. And I can't remember what it is, but it's a spin off of the Columbo character.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I just heard. Mm-hmm. And he referred to Columbo quite a bit in that. Well, now that we've got Brian Churchill on the mic, Brian, what do you want to tell us? First of all, let's say you are another new person to the community. Is that correct?
I've had a place in Manzanita for about 15 years that I would stay with my wife probably twice a month. And during the pandemic, we moved here full time. I retired from my practice. I was a lawyer.
And the plot thickens already.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I play a lawyer in this play.
Yep.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this is my third play. I've done two plays with Riverbend Players, mm-hmm. and this is my first with Coaster, and I'm just having the greatest time.
So that's at the NCRD for Riverbend.
That is correct.
North County Recreation District in Nehalem. Which does a lot of great stuff, too, especially after they fixed up the theater so it's comfortable. The Coaster has always been comfortable. Okay, Brian, what do you want to tell us about your character besides the fact that you're a lawyer and you were a lawyer, and that makes me very queasy.
Well, don't be.
Don't be.
You know, I've taken a lot of flack for that career choice for many years.
Some of my best friends and my brother. But the fact that you were and now you are on stage, I'm just wondering. But you're following a script. So how does that?
It's interesting. I have to say there are times that I realize in the profession, especially with the jury involved, there's a lot of acting in my profession that I didn't appreciate, although it's a little more fluid when you are a lawyer, you just get comfortable with the facts and there's a lot more improvisation, whereas you are correct with a script, you're nailed down. But there's a tremendous, and a credit to Thomas, there's a tremendous amount a freedom with the script to be able to own the stage with the script in mind, mm-hmm. and treating the stage like a courtroom and being using my skill that I was trained to deliver to a jury to convince people one way or the other about facts and circumstances, and being able to take that script and deliver to an audience as a piece of entertainment is really the next step, and it's super fun.
Can you imagine doing this part in this play or any play while you were still practicing law?
Oh, certainly.
In the same town?
Oh, yes. Certainly. Yeah, if this were playing at, theater downtown Portland, which is where I used to practice. Absolutely.
While you were still practicing.
Absolutely. I'd invite every one of my lawyer friends to come see it.
and your potential
absolutely.
Customers as well.
Yes.
So, I think your reputation would be soiled, my
friend. Oh, that'd be great. No,
I was wondering,
I would take that as a compliment.
Okay. So we've got quite a mix of Now, Margo, you've done a lot of theater as well at the Coaster and the Riverbend.
I started when I moved out to the coast here. I made my breakthrough with Riverbend Players in a little play called Four Weddings and an Elvis
in
2018.
I saw that play.
Did you?
I did.
Yes, I was Fiona.
That was in the days when I used to travel. I haven't even gotten to Cannon Beach since B.C. before COVID.
Oh, that's great. So, I'm glad you saw it.
You have to. You have to come back.
I know. Yeah. This is making me want to.
Please
do. So how is it? What is it about theater?
Well, when I kind of on a dare with my friend in high school, we auditioned for Bye Bye Birdie. I didn't know anybody, and Sounds like you did too.
Freshman year of college, really? 1961.
Oh, it was my sophomore year.
I was a teenager.
Oh, great. Okay.
You weren't in college in 61, dear.
No, but no. I mean,
you're much younger than
1980 something, but.
I can see that.
Yeah, okay. I was a sophomore, and I got a part, and I didn't expect to, and I played Gloria Rasputin, who does a little tap dance, and then I end in the splits, and I got a laugh from the audience, and right then, I was hooked. That was it for me. So
good. Yeah. That's a good story. I like it. How about you, Frank, since it goes so far back? Well, what was
what
the
started
theater
it?
Draw?
I used to be a basketball and football referee. And before I really started acting, and there's a lot of acting that goes on when you're a referee. You're calling the game, but you're hearing jeers, you're hearing this, you become the villain, then you become the good guy. And you start to figure it out. Hey, wait a minute, you know, you're having a real effect, emotional effect on people. But when I married Liz, we did a play in Albany a month after we got married. Then I was really hooked.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of going. But we ended up at the Coaster. And
you've done a lot of things together.
Yes. She's played my sister, my wife, my housekeeper, my daughter. Mm-hmm. You name it. She's played it. Mm-hmm. We've played all kinds of roles.
Right. But, which is a nice thing, too. Something you can do together.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've really enjoyed it. I'm going to throw one thing in there. I'm not going to dominate, but... This is my last Coaster show. We are moving.
What?
Yes, we're leaving actually 2 days after the show closes.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going out with a bang with a great group, and I'm really happy to be doing this last show.
Yes. What is going on here?
Well,
jumping ship?
Yes, but I don't want I want to get off that track. I just want to let you know, Carol.
Yes. Thanks a lot.
This is my last show.
Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Oy, and you heard it here on KMUN, folks. Wow. Okay. Toddy, you haven't said too much, so tell us how it is for you playing the mistress. Are you can you tell us something about the part and then tell us how it feels to play a part like this?
I love my character. I absolutely adore her. She is outlandish and ridiculous and knows what she wants, and it's just been a delight to do that. She has this freedom on stage where she can just do and say whatever, and it makes sense, and I wanted to go for this role because I knew it would be a challenge. I've done more musicals throughout my entire life, and so I'm like, ooh, let's do something serious and a play and learn all of these lines.
Nice.
And it's just been a delight. So I think she's just such a crazy character and brings a very different dynamic. She is pretty much the comedic relief through this whole thing, which is why I laughed at the beginning. I'm like, that's me.
I appreciate that. So do you sing in
Let me interrupt just for a second, Carol. Thomas. I want to tell you, at the beginning of this, I gave each one of these characters a picture of a celebrity and said, here, I want you to put this person in your mind. This is the person I want you to think of. The picture I gave Toddy was Goldie Hawn.
Oh.
I said, here, start with that.
Nice.
And she came back and...
Nice.
You can imagine what happened.
Yeah, that's great. I love
it was great. I love her.
I do too. So does that mean you sing and dance?
Sing, yes. Dance,
no,
questionable.
Not I mean in life.
In other, life, other yes. Production. But in the show, no.
Yeah.
Though, you
this
know.
This is a serious play.
It's a very serious play. Yeah. I'm the... Absolutely. Jackie's the most serious of them all.
Yes, she is.
Well, who chose this play? Did the committee choose, or did you choose, Thomas, or how did that work?
No, it's a process. There's a programming committee at the Coaster, and they put together certain plays during the year, and then they put it to the board. The board says yes or maybe questionable here, and then the executive director, Patrick Lathrop, has said, okay, here are the plays, and this is what we're going to do in February, and here's what we're going to do in the summer, and assigns the directors, and off we go. So it's a committee thing.
Well, the last time you were here, you were Scrooge, which is a little different.
A little different.
A little different, yes.
A little bit.
And Kathy Ryan was the director, mm-hmm. your wife. So have you been directing as well as on stage?
I've been doing this since 1977. So yeah, I've done both. I was actually in news for a while, and then I said, well, I this isn't giving me nearly enough attention, so I left now, news and moved to Hollywood.
I think we're getting the picture here, folks, of the of the acting profession and why people want to be on the stage. Frank, are you and Liz going to keep doing theater wherever you go?
We're going to Independence, Oregon, which is about 20 miles north of Corvallis in Albany. And Liz and I actually, in 1979, we did a play at the Albany Theater, and we're thinking maybe we go back and say we'd like to be in a show again. It's only been 45 years.
Remember us?
But there's several theaters down in that area, in McMinnville, Albany.
Oh, sure.
And Salem.
Sure.
So, but we're not so sure of that. We're not thinking about theater right now. We're thinking about just moving. And
I can't believe you're leaving the coast to move inland. Oh, well, I guess some people, you know, feel that way. So, well, anybody have anything they want to put out to the audience to let folks know? I'll remind you, we're talking about Guilty Conscience by whom? What's the name of the writer?
The writer? I think one of the names is Michael McKeever. I don't remember the other fellow.
I think it's William Link. Is that right? Does that sound correct?
Sure.
Okay,
yes, let's
good
say
enough.
That.
We're going to go with William Link.
We'll go with it. Okay, so Guilty Conscience, a murder mystery at the Coaster Theater, and it opens a week from tonight, runs through the 25th, and the schedule is a little crazy, but there's 10 performances, so you can easily catch one. There's matinees, and one Thursday, and the other's Friday and Saturday at 7:30, all three weekends, and two Sundays. And then tickets, you can go online. You can also call the box office. It's 503-436-1242. Yes, I have been doing this long enough to know that number by heart. And I've called it myself to reserve tickets in the past. And it sounds like I personally, after certain experiences, tend to shy away from murder mysteries. But this one, and thank you, Toddy, this one sounds like it's going to be both interesting, obviously well-performed, well-directed, and worth a watch. Anything else anybody wants to throw out?
Be there, please. Come.
Please.
This won't scare you. I promise you it won't scare you.
We haven't told you a lot about it for a reason, because it's a really good time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I'm sure, considering this machine called the computer, the internet, however you use it, if you have any questions about the play itself that you want to check it out and see if you want to bring your teenager, you can read up a bit. But it sounds like a fascinating kind of interwoven story.
We're going to keep you guessing the whole time.
I can't wait. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. My guests are Toddy Adams, Margo McClellan, Brian Churchill, Frank leaving us, Jagodnik, and Thomas Ryan. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to KMUN, Arts Live and Local, and there's a group that's coming to the Sou'wester, not this weekend, but next weekend on the 11th, Saturday night. I'm not sure how they pronounce their name. It's Samadams. S-A-M-A space D-A-M-S. So you can figure it out. They've got a good reputation, and I will play a tune for you. Stay tuned. Got more good stuff coming right here.
I can't explain in my lost, so she gets between the teeth. Forgiveness sounds bitter. Put your hands over my ears, make her face disappear.
Well, that was Sama Dams, and it's from their new album, and that was Secrets. And again, the name of the album is Say It. They will be playing at the Sou'wester in Seaview, Washington, on February 11th. You should check out the Sou'wester Lodge. They have so much going on there. They have all kinds of workshops, music all the time. It's a trailer park, a very upscale trailer park, basically. So it's a lot of fun to be there, too. And, okay, I'm just going to get things together here. I've got some wonderful folks, another virgin. That's right. I've got a virgin in the room and another totally not. And the totally not would be Kristen Schock. And you all know Kristen. She is the faculty in the art department at Clatsop Community College, and she runs the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, hey. And the new guest is, tell us your name.
My name is Ryan Prohaska.
Okay. I'm going to bring that mic a little. Yeah, that's perfect.
How's that?
Okay, so you're, I asked him to give his name because it's spelled Prohaska, but you notice that the C disappeared. So that is fine. Ryan Prohaska. Well, I stopped up at the college to see what there is to see because it is the Faculty Plus show. I'm not sure. What's the official name?
Well, you know, we're brainstorming still. Oh. And we came up with Faculty and Familiars because, as I told you, familiar artists that are also, we've invited some local artists, as well as recently departed parents of both Lucian, our recently retired historic preservation instructor, and my own mother. We've included the artwork of our parents as well.
That's beautiful, really, like the legacy there that you have. Not to mention the work itself, which is beautiful, your mother's work that I saw.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to first find out who are the people that we call the faculty. But before I have Kristen kind of roll off a list, I want to congratulate and welcome Ryan because Kristen just mentioned Lucian, our recently departed. He is alive and well and somewhere in some godforsaken state in the southeast, as far as we know. But in his stead, stepping up to the plate, is Ryan Prohaska, who is the new head of the Historic Preservation Program, which is exciting. That's fantastic. I'm thinking, when I heard he had left, I thought, oh, my God, what are they going to do with the program? Because they've developed such a wonderful program. How do you find the right person? And then I hear about you. Who are you, and where did you come from, Ryan? Let's see. You have a few minutes to do that.
Yeah. A few minutes?
You got
okay.
Time.
So originally, I'm from Iowa, Iowa City, Iowa, which is a fantastic small liberal arts college, lots of arts and lots of education. And so I actually started studying art at around 10 or 12 with some artists around there, Tomas Lazansky and... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, in school or on...
This was before, just kind of my passion for art started early. And
so your parents said, sure.
I think, we'll... sure. And yeah, take this kid off our hands for a couple hours a few times a week. And,
very wise.
That really got me started in printmaking and drawing.
Wow.
And I ended up going to college for art. But I ended up getting involved in historic preservation and moved out into a farm. Just kind of loved the fact that preservation was the opportunity to study history, architecture, and the craft skills, kind of use the art that I loved in a very functional manner.
So you said 10 or 12. How did you even get there? How did you, was your family artistic? What made you even think to pick up a pencil or a
That's a great question. I don't know where it really began. We do have a pretty artistic family, no professionals, but I think that was just part of growing up, that we studied the arts, and my parents really wanted the best education they could get. And I think growing up in Iowa City, we did have a lot of that art background, and it was just there for me to be exposed to. I do recall the first time walking up the stairs to Tomas Lazansky's studio, and a very beautiful person was walking down the stairs, and I knew he was painting nudes, and I thought, that seems like an appropriate... I don't mind that at all.
That's interesting. And you were very young.
I was pretty young.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, but that transition then from the drawing and printmaking to, or is that what you're calling the craft, the art of craft, or the craft of art making?
Sure, yeah. You know, going into an old house and knowing that I'm recreating parts of it and being respectful of that, the work that's already been done and the work to design an old building, I think getting to use my mind and my hands to get onto the material of a building, historic fabric, is just that's I love playing with the tools. I love getting dirty and exploring all that.
So you focused on that, and then have you been working in historic preservation, or is that kind of part? I don't know how big the field of historic preservation is. I know we have this incredible program that developed here, and everybody's thinking, how brilliant, because we're in the oldest European settlement west of the Rockies. Well, of course we need to deal with the history.
Old houses,
and the
right?
preservation, yeah.
So right after college, I moved out onto a farm with a bunch of friends, and we were growing food, and we were hanging out together and fixing up the property, the farmhouse and the barn. It was a beautiful octagonal barn, the Seacrest Barn, and the National Register. And a lot of us actually just got really excited about working with our hands. I had one friend that was Yale. To study linguistics and get his PhD. And right before he got done, he ended up going to California and studying concrete countertops instead.
Nice.
So we kind of all really loved the thinking, but loved playing with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And So I ended up kind of immediately getting into helping folks around town fix up their old houses mm-hmm. and contracting and setting up my own wood shop. From there, that was most of my 20s. My 30s, I ended up traveling around a lot. I ended up going and working in Antarctica as a carpenter. I came back and worked for the National Park Service in historic preservation, went back to school for it. And actually, after I went back to school for it and finished up, I helped develop a historic preservation program at a college near where I was living at the time in Iowa, and mm-hmm. taught that for a number of years.
Okay. So is that, are there many historic preservation programs around the country?
No, there's not. And that's what drew me here was mm-hmm. that this is a really well-established one. Lucian and John Gutenberger and right. everyone else involved.
Jay Raskin.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they all did an amazing job to contribute to the program.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that and knew that, I had been working kind of at the federal level and thought this is a great opportunity to connect what's going on so well here in Astoria and hopefully provide it to a national audience even.
Nice, nice. So, Kristen, were you delighted, surprised when this person shows up who seems to be the perfect person for the
job? I couldn't imagine. Of course, no. Lucian is irreplaceable, and yeah. I just had no idea how that could even be yeah. possible, yeah. and I was so thrilled when yeah. Ryan comes, and he's amazing, too. Yeah. Of course, yeah. we miss Lucian yeah. terribly, but if anyone can fill his shoes, Ryan can in his own way. Right. He's amazing.
Right. So there, Lucian. You left us, but I just found out. Somebody else is leaving. I have this, you know, problem with being abandoned, so I'm so glad you're here. Well, I went up to see the show, and Kristen, you have three works of your own, mm-hmm. and I jotted down what you said. Two of them are mixed media.
Mixed media,
with
yes.
acrylic, flower petals, leaves, lichen, and fire glass. I'm not sure what fire glass is.
Fire glass I stumbled upon last year. I don't know if you remember our fire and light show.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was doing research, trying to figure out what I was going to put in for the show. And I stumbled across fire glass, which actually it's cheaper than the craft glass you can get. It's just like fragments of glass. And it's made to put in, you know, those upscale fire pits, you know, you see in cafes and things, and it kind of sparkles with the light, but I make these kind of pseudo mosaic effects with it. It's kind of fun. And fire glass, it just sounds kind of cool, doesn't
it? Does. It does. I can see the whole thing bursting into a... And then you did a charcoal drawing.
Yes. So I have two extremes, like the two pieces that are mixed media.
Yes.
Worked on them for over 10 years now. I mean, not continuously, right. but... Kind of, they were up in the attic for a while, brought them back down, layered back into them. So just obsessively working on those. And then the drawing that I have in willow charcoal on newsprint, just whipped it out in 20 minutes, you know, in our open studio. So it's kind of two extremes there of my work.
I know, that was really funny. And yet they're all three of them. Pretty classy stuff.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Open studio is...
It's on Fridays. We open up our art studio to anyone who's interested in working from the figure. We have models come in on Fridays from 1 to 3. So it's a lot of fun. We have people from the community come up and draw with us.
Oh, okay. So you yeah. don't have to be a student.
No, you don't. Okay.
What time is that happening?
1 to 3.
1 to 3. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
Good information. Okay, and who else is in this show? Because I can't keep track of who's on the faculty.
We have invited each of our faculty. We invited various people. And I should probably state, you know, of course, our faculty, you asked me to list. Yes. Richard Rowland, who teaches ceramics. And Ben Rosenberg teaches printmaking. David Homer is not going to have anything in the show. Mm-hmm. He teaches photography. Of course, Lucian, who's our professor emeritus, he brought some pieces,
okay.
As well as his recently departed dad mm-hmm. has some pieces in as well.
Wow. Nice. And that's the entire faculty.
It is the entire faculty okay. plus Ryan, of course.
Right.
And then
we're coming back to Ryan.
Then we invited some different local artists. I invited Kirsten Horning, who's yes. a wonderful printmaker. And Ben invited his friend David Faville, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. And Richard invited Potter Colin Meston. Mm-hmm. And we have also invited Peter Williams, who is our VP of the college, and he has put in a beautiful photograph that he took.
Is that his big?
The big photograph?
Oh, yeah, of the mountain.
He's a mountain, what do you call, mountain climber? Whoa. He climbs mountains.
We were trying to figure out where that picture was taken and who took it.
Oh, and I should know it. I'll have to ask Peter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was up on that mountain and
It's up. It looks
a spectacular view, isn't it?
We were trying to figure out, is it the Himalaya or is it someplace closer? We couldn't. Okay.
Yeah.
That solves that problem, because when you said David Homer wasn't in it, I thought, well, who took the picture?
Yes, that's our VP, and we have so many talented staff and faculty,
great.
You know, outside of the art department.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good. It's going to be a fabulous show. When is the, I think the show is going to run through March 23rd. This is, again, the Clatsop Community College Faculty and Familiars show.
Faculty and Familiars.
That's the new name. It's at the Royal Nebberkirk Gallery, and it's going to run through March 23rd. The reception will be February 16th. Which is always a Thursday for the reception. So that's a couple of weeks from now.
Yes, at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. And when do you think the show will be up?
Well, we're shooting for next Thursday.
Okay. Yeah.
Up for viewing, yes. So,
for viewing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not...
It's not up on the walls
yet. It's not
yet.
On the walls yet. That's I discovered.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
I went up there and I walked in and I thought, is it my eyes or is something missing here?
It's a conceptual show.
Yes, there you go. It happens. So what I did see, though, was I saw some of Ryan's work, and in particular, the box, which I found fascinating, the toolbox. Tell me the story as much as you're willing and able to tell us.
I did a lot of traveling the last 5 years or so, and I ended up in Savannah, Georgia, kind of right before the pandemic kicked off. So I hunkered down there and set up a workshop, made a lot of furniture, but I knew I wanted to get out to the West Coast, so I packed everything up, put all my tools and everything in the trailer, drove across the country. Drove up and down the coast working on different projects. Finally ended up in Portland. And about a month after I got to Portland, my trailer and everything got stolen. And for an artist and a craftsperson, it was pretty hard. I had just met my girlfriend, Shara. So that was helpful during that time. But it was really hard to get back into working with tools and things
like
that.
And it wasn't just your... tools. It was
everything. It was books and rocks with little triangles in it and silly things like that.
Family heirloom.
Absolutely.
Kind of.
Things that don't mean anything, as we mentioned, they don't mean anything to anyone else. So that hurts. But I started collecting all these pieces in the shop, little things that, little scraps of wood that students had done, you know, little practice mortise and tenon joints and things like that. And I decided that I'd put them all together in a toolbox using a Japanese style of a toolbox design, and used all these little parts that the students had worked on. And it's a lovely little piece, and it kind of let me reconnect with the tools and the materials in a new way.
And it's a magic box, folks. You have to see how it opens and closes. It looks just like, it's a wooden box. What's the big deal? Okay. You try to open it or lock it without knowing the trick. I happened to be watching how Ryan did, and I went, wait, what did you just do? Wow, it's so subtle. But I also liked that you used scraps from the students, and you told me that, and I've witnessed actually that one of the things the students in this program do is work on skills. So one of the pieces of wood has a big shush in it. Kind of
gouged out in the sides.
A gouge, yep. Yeah.
And then the other side has little scraps where they'd cut out a little mortise and then fit in a little piece to test out their patching skills.
Right. So it's delightful because these are things that otherwise would have gone into my wood burner wood starter, basically, small pieces of scrap. Instead, you've made this quite functional and also interesting. So as you use it, so did this... Oh, my goodness. People start singing to us when we... is this something you can envision as a project to take your scraps, go home, and make something out of it?
One of the great things about our workshops is that you can come in and explore a lot of different things with the tools. And
I just realized there are a lot of people out there who have no idea what we're talking about when we say historic preservation. Yes, taking an old house and preserving it. But now we're talking about gouging and putting little pieces of wood. What are you doing this
What are we doing up there?
What are you doing?
Historic preservation is generally, people think of it as history and architecture, but it's certainly also craft skills. And that's one of the things that draws me to it, especially learning how to preserve historic craft skills. And we are one of the few schools in the nation that offers that opportunity. So students get to come in on workshops on the weekends usually and work in our shop and explore all types of carpentry and woodworking. And we have a number of great craftspeople that are teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Petrowski teaches a continuing ed class, usually kind of on either end of our workshops, and have another bunch of great craftspeople. So
this is offered as a course.
Absolutely. We have the Historic Preservation Certificate Program, 1 year and 2 year options. But folks can come in and just do the workshops on the weekends or take a class. We're teaching green building right now. Mm. So it's really, it's a nice broad field that there's a lot to explore.
So Kristen, how do people, and of course when they come to see this show, again, this is the faculty and familiars that of the Class of Community College Art Department, of which Kristen Schock is the head. If people are interested in signing up for that or finding more about, or what is he talking about? When did these workshops, how come I haven't heard about
them? Well, his workshops are kind of on an ongoing basis, right? That's periodically through the term. Mm-hmm. And any classes, students can register through our online website or come up to the first stop right on Lexington Avenue. The spring schedule just was posted on the website. Ryan might have more to say about signing up for those workshops.
I think you nailed it right there. I'm still new, so sometimes I don't know where to go to get things
done. I think a great way to do this would be to stop by at the show. Again, wait a week, because it's not up yet.
Next Thursday.
But it will be. Next Thursday, it'll be up. And then the reception, which is always delightful, not only because the artists are usually there, but there's always good food, too. Not always, but most of the time these days.
We're one of the few galleries that still do that post-pandemic, I think.
Man, oh, man. And it's just delightful because... the artists are introduced, the faculty will be introduced, and you'll be able to find out what all is going on there. And the artwork, some of it is for sale. Is that correct? Not all, but some?
Not all, but yeah. Most of it, I would
most
say,
of it is
for
okay.
sale. Yeah.
So it's for sale as well. And definitely this is the place to go because it's direct. You get it directly from the artist. So, again, Ryan Prochaska, congratulations on being here. I'm so glad you chose to come to Astoria.
Thank you so much.
And I, especially because, besides you being seeming to be a great guy, because you are going to continue this historic preservation program, which those three men and all the people that worked with them did a fabulous job of developing. And the college supporting it as well. So congratulations to all. Kristen, anything else we need to know?
Well, just please come to the reception February 16th and sign up for some art classes. We'd love to have everyone sign up. We offer a range of classes from ceramics, photography, graphic design, painting, art history.
Printmaking.
Printmaking.
Right.
Yep. So come join us.
It's a fun place up on the Harvard on the Hill. Just drive right up 16th Street and take a left, and the gallery is as far as you can go. So thank you so much for coming in, Kristen Schock and Ryan Prochaska. And congratulations on no longer being a KMUN virgin also.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, I have a bit of music from, I played music from an album called Silent Tears, The Last Yiddish Tango. I received the actual CD in the mail. This is a Romani waltz featuring Sergiu Popa. We will hear more from this beautiful album coming up. I do want to let you know what else is going on, because there is lots. Tonight from 5 to 7, the Bay City Arts Center Art Reception, the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts at 7 o'clock, Every Brilliant Thing, the Funniest Play About Depression. It's a terrific play. That's on 16th and Franklin. Tonight at 7 or Sunday at 3. And the Horsenecks are at the Shelburne at 6. And the 1015 Theater is tonight and tomorrow night at 7 is having magician Seth Howard. It's an all-age show. Tomorrow, the Columbia River Maritime Museum has a shipwreck conference. The Brumfield Gallery has a ribbon cutting and artist reception. Cannon Beach Library Storytime for Kids, Be My Valentine at 2. Gearhart Art Walk, including lots going on at Trail's End and a great gallery, and the Natural Nook. Sou'wester, folk music by Aaron Fagan. Sunday, Fort George has Crooked Valley Folk, and 3 to 5 is a labyrinth walk at St. Catherine's in Nehalem. Thursday is the Anti-Racism Book Club. And also, I mean Tuesday, sorry, Anti-Racism Book Club and Rick's Open Poetry Mic at Winecraft at 7 o'clock Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Trails End registration ends for Ancient Art Workshop. Thursday, Joey Altruda at Winecraft and the Story Slam, Pacific Story Slam at Maggie's in Seaside. Thanks for being here. Stay tuned to KMUN.